All my days, you're listening to Cross the Border. This is Nicholas, and we're in Proverbs chapter 31. So let's get to it. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. Yeah. Yes, it is nice to be able to safely trust in your wife. And I'll tell you what, you never know that so well as when you have a woman you can't trust in. And you know what it means. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh diligently with her hands. You know, and I read something when I was doing my search for Bathsheba on the other day. It was last week sometime. I did this search and found those few articles, but I found some other screaming liberal articles really putting down this woman, how she was a slave of men, and anyway, didn't want to save that article. Didn't think it was worth sharing. But I see the opposite here, and perhaps, you know, this woman who was putting down Bathsheba, perhaps she was the subject of some overbearing, controlling man. Because they're out there too, men that have to control every single aspect of their wives' lives, that give them no leeway to prosper and to, you know, apply themselves to things that they like to do and things that they can, pretty much the same things that everyone wants to do with their life. They want their life to have meaning. They want to prosper. They want to feel good about the things they're doing. So, you know, we don't need to be overbearing and over-controlling, but if we trust our wives, perhaps that trust will be returned. And we see here that this woman, this Proverbs 31 woman, the proverbial Proverbs 31 woman, the one that nobody thinks exists, right? She seeks wool and flax and works willingly with her hands. Yes, I don't like lazy people. I think everyone should work. And Paul said, if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. Well, I don't think that just applies to the gender man. I believe that applies to everyone. If anyone doesn't work, they shouldn't eat. No woman should come into a household and think that she can just do nothing because now the man's going to provide for her. Now, she needs to work just as hard as the man. And hopefully many women do, and all godly women should. But we see that here, that she works. She seeks wool and flax and works willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. Yeah, she goes out and she considers how to feed her household well. She goes far and wide to get the best deals, to make the best preparations, to feed her house healthy foods. She runs her house well. She provides well. She rises also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. It was common to have servants if you were in the upper class of society in those days. I guess it's still common today, except now your servants don't live in your household because that's considered a type of slavery that is against the law. I guess they could. You could have in-house servants. But she considers a field and buys it, and with the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. So with the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She doesn't have to get everything from her husband. She's a hard-working woman. No excuses. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good, and her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretches out her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches forth her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. That means they're clothed with the proper and the best clothing that she can provide. She makes herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done virtually, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gate. You know, and I guess this summary at the end, this really sums up the woman, is a woman. You know, favor is deceitful. You know, the favor of place in life or stature or color, whatever reason people favor others, it's deceitful because it deceives people into thinking they're something they're not. And beauty is vain. Yeah, it is vanity. Well, you know, beauty is a good thing. It's something our Creator has created for us, but it is vain because it's not everything. Because a beautiful woman that is foolish can be very ugly. And as I don't talk about my private family life very much over the air, yes, I've been married 3 times, and I can tell you what, that I've seen a beautiful woman become very ugly. I can say it, put it that way, that beauty, when you get beyond skin deep, some of the most beautiful women that I've seen are also some of the ugliest women I've ever seen. So beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth Yahuwah, the woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. And that's the woman. That's the Proverbs 31 woman. The one who fears the Lord. The one who fears, doesn't fear man, doesn't regard what others think about her, does not rely on her beauty or the favor of her position in life, whatever it may or may not be, but she has regard to the law of God. She fears not keeping his law. And before our Heavenly Father, we all stand. Man, woman, Jew, Gentile, Hebrew, Greek, it doesn't matter. We all stand before him. And what does he regard? Whether we fear him or not. That's right. Do you desire to live a life that is pleasing to our Heavenly Father? And do you fear living a life that is not pleasing to him? You know, our Heavenly Father, he gave us his law, he gave us his commandments, and he gave them all to us for our own good. And the wisdom is this. Once we realize that it's all for our own good, we trust in him, then we should realize that if we do not regard his law, if we do not regard his commandments, if we do not regard what pleases him, then it is not good for us. That's right. So if I go out and I live my life, and if I'm doing something that's against his law, it's not good for me. Why would I want to keep doing it? Why would I want to keep doing that which is not good for me? Sure, it may feel good. It may taste good. It may feed my pride. It may make me look good in the sight of men. It may save me from a little bit of temporary pain. But it is not good for me. It is not good for my eternity. Ultimately, my position in forever. And that is the end of Proverbs, my friends. And you're listening to Cross the Border. That's the name of this program. This program is about crossing the border into his kingdom. And I know that's kind of a strange idea out there in the world, and a strange idea in the corporate church, where they teach you that if you do what they say, you follow the commandments that they choose because the law has been nailed to the cross, but you got to keep tithing, and of course you can't sleep with their wife or steal from them, but somehow the law was nailed to the cross. We're not under the commandments of God anymore. Somehow this situation exists that is impossible. No, there is a kingdom, and our Messiah came on the scene, the promised Redeemer of mankind. The God became flesh, man. You know, there are some cults out there, and some people call themselves Christians that don't know that they're cults, who believe that Jesus, the Christ, Yahshua, the Messiah, they don't believe that he was God. They don't believe in his divinity. And they use arguments like, you know, you believe in two gods or three gods, or you're a, you know, those type of arguments. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And of course, there where it says that, they use the name of the Creator, Yahuwah, our God is one. Hear, O Israel, Yahuwah, our God is one. And our God can do anything he wants. He created the universe. He created it all out of whatever he created out of. Some people say nothing. Well, I don't know that for sure. Because Paul said the things that are seen came out of things which are not seen. So is it nothing just because it's not seen? Well, these are questions, you know. But he created it all. Could he, is there something that, would it be impossible for him to create a body, to prepare a body for himself so that he could enter into that body and walk amongst his creation? You know, not only can he do it, but he said he would do it, and he did it. Yes, hear, O Israel, Yahuwah, our God is one. And he prepared a body for himself, and he created a new seed in the womb of a woman, and he became a man. And he was more than a man. When one of his disciples said to him, because he was speaking about the Father, one of the disciples said to him, show us the Father, and it'll be sufficient for us. That's something like that. Show us the Father, Master. You keep talking about the Father. Show us the Father. And his response was, have I been so long amongst you, and you don't know who I am? Wow, that would be called blasphemy, wouldn't it? And that's the crime that executed him for. They executed him for blasphemy, for claiming to be who he was, because that was a crime for any man to say that. And when he showed up on the scene, he began to preach, and he began to say, repent, for the kingdom is at hand. And that's why I'm here, to do the same thing. I'm not greater than my master. And I know there's a lot of preachers out there preaching different messages. They're preaching the you get to go to heaven when you die message. No, Yeshua, Jesus never preached that. He never said, repent so you can go to heaven when you die. He never preached that pie in the sky when you die gospel. He said this gospel of the kingdom must be preached. So there is a kingdom, there is a king. And Paul said, I sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's how it's translated in the King James Version. You get the message. There is a kingdom and there is a king. And every kingdom has laws. And you know who your king is by whoever's laws are the highest, take the highest position in your life. Then you'll find out who your God is. Because your God has the highest position of authority in your life. Cross the border into his kingdom and live forever. That's the message of cross the border. Cross the border into his kingdom and live forever. There is absolutely nothing more important. So we'll see you next time on Cross the Border.